At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is Gojo and Golic with Mike Golic Jr. and Mike Golic Sr. on VSiN, the sports betting network.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Gojo and Golic. Mike Golic Jr., Mike Golic Sr., and Emerson Lazia holding it down for us in the DraftKings studio in Boston. We got a fun one coming up for you today. As always, make sure you download, subscribe, rate, review us, leave us a five-star rating, and check us out here live Monday through Friday from 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern right here on the DraftKings Network. Catch the best of Gojo and Golic wherever you hear VSiN on the radio. That's noon to 1 p.m. Eastern. Emerson, what's coming up today? Tell us
all
what we
got. All right, big man. In the words of the great Christopher Ostreicher, how sweet it is to be loved by you. The men's Sweet 16 gets going tonight, gentlemen. Plus, Bayou Ballers, Jaden Daniels looking good, throwing the football against no defenders. He has large man hands, and Malik Nabers shows out with his blazing speed. Plus, it's opening day. ESPN legend Tim Kurchin, the Giggler, will join the show and have an in-depth conversation with you two guys who you know very well, Mr. Kurchin. But yes, opening day, guys. The Dodgers and Padres, sure, they played a couple games in South Korea last week. But this is the real opening day. All 30 teams in action here in the States with the Brewers and the Mets leading the way starting at 1:10 Eastern time. Not a shocker. The Dodgers, after spending a bajillion dollars in the offseason, are the favorites, followed by the Braves, Astros, Orioles, and Yankees on the World Series odds board. But just as a sports fan here, Gojo, opening day, what kind of feeling does it give you? What feelings do you feel? Or does it feel a little weirder this year considering everything surrounding Ohtani right now?
I just want to say opening day will feel better for me today because of Tim Kurkjian. Like, Dad, you work with Tim for a long time. I got to overlap with him a little bit. Having him on, Tim Kurkjian is the perfect appetizer for an opening day full of baseball because that man, if you spend any time around him, his joy and love for baseball is so overwhelming that it makes you want to love baseball more. So I know after this today, I'll end up watching more baseball this afternoon because of the proximity to him. It's a fun day. It's like most of the best sports days are ones where you can buy in bulk, where it's just wall to wall. You've got it one after another here. You can sort of go and pick around. It's like an appetizer sampler platter, which is always a great decision when you're going out. So I'm excited for today, but I'm even more excited because I know I'm about to ingest pure, uncut Tim Kurkjian baseball joy.
Timmy Kurkjian was such a great guy. When I was at ESPN, between he and Buster Olney, the two baseball guys that we had on all the time. I mean, they're fantastic. But you're right. Tim's passion for the game, no matter if the worst thing is going on the game, he will make you love it. If you're dejected about the game and what has been going on, and there have been things, obviously, over the years, he still brings you back and makes you love it. So I'm so happy to have him on today and happy to talk about what he's got coming up, you know, in a father-son mode. That'll be fun to talk about as well. But opening day, listen, it's opening day is great. Certainly the Shohei news has tarnished it a little bit. But as you said, it's kind of like the first round of the NCAA tournament. You can buy in bulk, right? There's games on. Just keep flipping channels. There's games on everywhere. You can get your fill of baseball. Dodgers are obviously the story. I don't know of a – I'm trying to think of a team where you go in and say, man, if they don't win, it's going to be one of the biggest disappointments out there. We've certainly had those over the years. But it's a team that spent $1.35 billion in the offseason. They just capped it off yesterday by signing their catcher, Will Smith, to a 10-year, $140 million deal. They figured they'd do something right before, even though, again, we know their season started, but right before the regular season really starts, they tack on another $140 million. He's the third highest paid ever catcher behind Joe Mauer and Buster Posey. So they do that right out of the gate. Their payroll this year, $325 million. They picked up star after star. Shohei defers all that money so they have money and don't get nailed too much with the luxury tax. So it is them. It is Atlanta that we look to as being the dominant teams. And we'll see. This is one of those, again, it's 162 games. So it's a long, long season with many ups and downs. And we'll just kind of go through it and hope we get great things in the regular season. But we're all waiting to see what this Dodgers team can do once we get to the post. And we haven't even started yet. And the thought process is, if they don't win it, it's a monster failure.
Well, I think it's going to be interesting now because, like most scandals, Shohei Ohtani has a chance to mitigate some of it by just going out and balling. Like, we've seen the course of athletics history has been littered with people linked to any number of bad things, and almost always we as the public are generally willing to kind of get distracted the minute you see someone go out there and start doing great at whatever they're doing. So if Shohei gets out to a hot start, listen, people are still going to make gambling jokes. That's just how it's going to go. He's going to have a year of people making weird puns or tweets or headlines about Shohei Ohtani related to gambling, and that's just kind of how the game's going to go. But yeah, our fascination is going to be trained out there. Obviously, Atlanta, the season that they had last year, they weren't able to cap off. The Houston Astros still, despite being in a division with the defending major, you know, the defending World Series champions, going to be someone people look at as a favorite. And with all these known commodities around the sports, everyone wondering if the Yankees will stay healthy long enough to do their thing, there's no doubt we're trained out here on the left coast. So that part is going to be very interesting. I'd imagine we're still going to get Shohei Ohtani balling. We don't know how much this stuff is actually going to affect him or not. But like I said, we'll talk more about that with Tim Kirkjian coming up here in a little bit here. Speaking of buying in bulk, though, Emerson, we've got a few updates as we get ready. March Madness also getting back going today. Sweet 16 round in the men's tournament getting started. But for us, we got an update. We have got the Starch Madness bracket that's got a few updates. And we're in the final region of the Treat 16 that we have to get through the voting on now.
Yeah, I think first we're going to hit on the Beat the Golic standings, though. So if anyone out there watching entered the Beat the Golics bracket, here is a look at the standings heading into the Sweet 16. So, gentlemen, right now, what do your picks look like for this round of the tournament? Go, Joe.
At this point, so I'm still in pretty good shape because most of my, like, Final Four and beyond are intact. I have UConn and Purdue facing off in the title with UConn winning, so my champion is still on the board. I've had Duke making a pretty deep run. I've got them making the Final Four, so really need Jeremy Roach and company to hold that down. But Arizona still in the mix. Creighton still in the mix as well. Marquette. And so all these teams that I have, Dad, while the first couple of rounds I know you dominated, I'm still sitting here pretty with a couple of teams that are going to be very important to me later on playing basketball.
Yeah, I lost. I had UConn losing in this round to Auburn, and Auburn went and lost in the first round. So that part of the bracket, the upper left side, for those that's how they look at their bracket, mine got to be a bit of a mess as I picked UConn to be the first number one seed out. Everybody else is still in it for me. My eventual championship game was Purdue against Arizona, so I still have that intact. But yeah, this one hurt me a little bit because I had UConn out this round and they're looking so good. I am, by the way, I think there's right at 43,000 entries and I am in 899th place. So I'm pretty happy about that. I know I'm beating all of you. I know I'm ahead of the entire, you know, Gojo and Golik crew out there. I can safely say that. So I feel good about that.
Weird
you
flex,
know what the best part
okay,
about
man.
That is, though, is you didn't have the forethought to actually make a bet with any of us on the outcome of the tournament the way you did for so many years.
No, coward.
So even if you win now, it means nothing. There is absolutely no reward for it. You'll be no more or less respected by us and everybody here. And so
why?
Now you won't. Because, listen, you don't win the whole thing. You don't win the cash. That's how it goes. So you can be first amongst us, but that doesn't count for a whole hill of beans when it comes to the actual contest. And because you didn't ante up on the side, now you're just sitting out of here, what, walking with pride? You care about that?
Well, you know what I'll know is that deep down in everybody's soul on the Gojo and Gola crew will know that I am the best. So, and that's good enough for me. Mike, I don't need material things. Okay? I don't need to have my hand raised. All I need to know is all of you know that I was the best out of our crew. Yes, I'm not going to win this thing. Congrats to whoever wins it. Right now it's Bentley 0505 who has got the sole lead at number one with 600 points in our contest. And that's okay. I will stand and applaud to any person that wins this. But deep down, I will know, and more importantly, deep down, all of you will know, I'm number one.
Oh, yeah, that feels good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, say
that
it again.
That felt good.
Yeah, say it again.
I don't know if that's going to work out very well for you, but I like where your head's at here. Go ahead and run with that. We'll all support it. The interesting part today, we've got the games coming up, as you mentioned. Today's Sweet 16, Clemson and Arizona, San Diego State at number one, UConn, Bama, North Carolina, and Illinois and Iowa State. And I am genuinely excited to watch more UConn basketball. I am now, because I've had them picked as my national champion for a while, and because the idea of the first back-to-back since that 06-07 Florida team does seem very much within reach. We talked about the other day the fact that some of the quality that's arisen as we've gotten to know teams in the men's tournament this year clearly stands out, and UConn just looks like a force of nature out there, and they're led by a coach who's got a real fascination with underpants.
Hell,
we
yeah.
heard from the in the sideline on the last game that he wears the same Red Dragon underwear he wore in the 2023 NCAA tournament when they won. He's been wearing largely the same clothes and outfits. And then yes, the other day he got up in a press conference and was talking about players in the transfer portal and said, I just don't think it's healthy for someone to be able to change schools like underwear. Dad, real weird underwear kink for Danny Hurley, apparently, right now. Guy spends a lot of time thinking about drawers.
Well, really is, because that became in the news. I think that was now in his head. That underwear is in his head. So it just, you know, when you're speaking, that just kind of went to the forefront of his mind. And he went that way. And again, you know, ripping the system that it is now. You may not like it, but you got to deal with it. That's all I got to say. If you don't like it, that's fine, but you better find a way to work with it.
He changes his underwear every 1 to 2 years. How often do you guys change your underwear?
Wait, I missed that part. So he wears the same underwear, or like the same rotation of underwear he'll put in rotation for a couple of years?
He just changes his underwear every 1 to 2 years.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Well, some things just never change here, folks. On Wednesday night, Draymond Green getting himself ejected less than 4 minutes into a battle against the Orlando Magic. The Warriors, given where they are in the standings, not a shocker when we all saw Steph Curry was emotional, was well aware of the potentially bleak reality that awaits now Golden State. Here he is after the loss, or the win, rather.
All I say is we need him. He knows that. We all know that. So whatever it takes to keep him on the floor, he'll be available. That's what's got to happen, especially at this point in the year. So it's a tough way to start the game, but I am extremely proud of every single person that stepped foot on the floor tonight and responded the way that they did, because back-to-back, you know, the team as physical as they are, we got contributions from everybody. And it was a beautiful team effort to respond the way that we did and get this win.
Jojo, we were talking about a little bit before the show. I know his stats didn't necessarily jump off the page, but you could see after that moment and Draymond got ejected, how emotional Curry was. He definitely was playing with a spark at times throughout the night.
Yeah, especially towards the finish line there. Yeah. Like, Steph knows what's at stake, and he's also, I think, Dad, acutely aware of how different their standing in the league is right now. Like, the fact that the Lakers, the Warriors, these teams that for so long, at least LeBron James, I should say, and the Warriors, were the face of the league, were the team in the finals every year, were the dynasty of modern basketball, are now sitting here fighting with the Rockets to try and stave them off out of that 10 seed in the play-in tournament. This is already a very different place in life for Steph Curry to operate in. And so now, knowing the stakes are very different and seeing the same reaction and response he's seen from Draymond for almost a decade now, I think it's a different level of frustration where he looks and understands the context is different and is wondering why this guy he's gone to battle with for so long can't see that too.
Oh, listen, I agree. I mean, this isn't new, gang. I mean, what we saw when you read the headline, Draymond Green ejected, you could, if you just see that headline, you could say, okay, what year are we talking about? Because it happens, it's been happens a lot over the years. But as you mentioned, when it happens when they're the best team, you can absorb it a little more. Now you're fighting just to stay in the play-in. You're fighting just to stay in the play-in. So it's even more important that that guy is on the court. And, you know, we're going to talk about Houston and their 10-game win. I heard one of their teammates already, his teammates come out and already talk about Dylan Brooks. And Dylan Brooks isn't on the level of Draymond Green, but still saying, man, we need the guy to stay in the game. And that's kind of where Steph is more softly saying, we need Draymond to be in the game. You know, we're a 10 seed now. We're not the best team in the NBA anymore. We need every bullet we got. So, the thing about it is, Mike, Draymond knows that. Draymond's known that for years. But it's very difficult to change a guy who plays like this or a guy's personality. I mean, he's a line stepper, always has been thrown out of games, cost his team by not being on the court. He's done it for years. So we can sit here and say, boy, I hope he changes. He's not going to change. At least I don't think he's going to change.
Oh, but Dad, he did all the therapy this year, and he got the help this year during his suspension, and he went through all that, and he's changed on the other side now. Isn't that how that works?
I saw a funny meme where it was like pre-therapy Draymond and then post-therapy Draymond, and it's the same picture,
well, I mean,
you know, for the office meme.
I know therapy can be great for people, but when it's mandated for you and you come out of it and say exactly what you should say when you have to get it, to get back, and you have to do it to get back into your whatever line of work you're in, you're going to say how great it was, and boy, did it help me, you know, but I'm the same. Mike, I need help, though. You were the academic All-American in the family, so I need an explanation of this line. Crew chief Mitchell Irvin told the pool reporters that Green was given the second technical foul because, quote, after a prolonged diatribe, Green directed egregious, profane vanguard towards a game official. I mean, I know what that means. He you know, said some magic words to the guy and talked too long, but what is that line? Egregious, profane vanguard towards a game official. Not going to lie. Never heard that. Never heard it described like that.
Vanguard, yeah. Pretty sure they have my 401k.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not a... I think this guy must do like a lot of like, you know, like role playing games on the weekend or something like that. Maybe he's into LARPing.
Sounds like a freaky little game night.
Yeah, he phases back into medieval diction there when he's cosplaying on the weekends. I'm not sure because that's above and beyond my pay grade there as the pseudo smart guy on this show. But yeah, I mean, you could very clearly see the magic words that he said after that whole altercation. And like, I guess that's the part, Dad, where part of me looked at joking like, oh, this is growth. He didn't get thrown out for choking someone or hitting someone in the nuts or a whip around shot with his elbow. He did it with his words this time around. So maybe part of that is growth. But to your point about this has happened before, this version of it and this like quick nature of it actually hasn't all that much. He is the first player to get ejected at least four times in a season since Kevin Durant got tossed five times in the 2017-2018 season, according to ESPN stats and info. And this is the second time that Draymond was ejected in the first quarter this season, per ESPN stats and info. He is the only player with multiple first quarter ejections in a season over the past 20 campaigns. Like this year in particular, Dad, of all the years that we've talked about it, of all the Draymond years, of all the dynasty years, we have never seen him do this particular thing this often in that entire time. And so now in the year where he is needed most, I mean, hell, that Mind the Game podcast that's doing great for LeBron James and JJ Redick right now, where they're going inside and doing all this deep dive basketball stuff. They spent a lion's share of the second episode talking about the Warriors and some of the action they run. And a lot of that time spent on Draymond Green and his role in this as a passer and a distributor and how great he is for this team. And you've got that existing coming out in the morning, and then in the evening you've got Draymond getting ejected in the first quarter of a game that they have to have so they're not embarrassed getting walked down by the Houston bleeping Rockets right now. And so for all the people that might have been out there, like, I think most people felt bad for Steph Curry, and I think most people do feel bad for Steph because they realize what he's holding together out there out of fealty to this organization that's been so good to him. But this was, again, and even by Draymond standards, particularly egregious because he knew once he had been teed up what happens next. He knew the choice that he was making there, and there's not going to be remorse on the backside of this. And I think that's the maddening part for Steph.
I'd feel bad for Steph if he never won a championship, but he's got a fistful, so I'm not too worried about him and feeling bad for athletes. But
yeah, that's a good point.
To that point, I get what you're saying, the frustration level that goes on, and a guy who just doesn't learn. But Mike, he's not the only one. We've all played with players like that who are on the edge players, and you kind of hope that they're the type of players you say, man, I'd love them I'd love to play with them, but I'd hate to play against them type of a guy. But if you play against them, you may be able to egg them on into a personal foul or a penalty or whatever sport you're in. So
it doesn't even seem like it's fun to play with them right now, though.
Now it's getting frustrating. But you know when it was fun? When he was doing that and they were winning championships. They were still all smiles that they could get through it all and be the best, even though Draymond was being Draymond. Now Draymond being Draymond may be part of the reason that if they get dumped out of the playoffs altogether because he can't stay on the court. And it's a shame because the only place it's going to come from is him. He's the only one that has to be self-aware enough that you know, as much as even after I gave that line that the official said, he also said Green's history absolutely did not have an impact on the decision to hand out the two T's. Now, you can say that all you want after the game, but you're human beings, officials and players. And you can't tell me that there's not going to be a little extra sauce given, you know, to Draymond when he starts going off and the refs may pull the trigger a little quicker on him. And I would understand it because, you know what? He's earned that. He has earned that by his actions in the past, and you keep wanting him to understand. People can tell him. He can have mandated therapy, blah, 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 blah. It all has to come from him, and unfortunately, he's now doing it at even a higher rate than he's done before.
It's just kind of weird that this is the way the Warriors are going to go out, because we know this core is not going to be together next year, and it's going to be very interesting the tenor right. this season ends on for what was the premier dynasty of the last 8 or 10 years in the NBA to now see, like, all right, yeah, they're going to be a play-in team maybe at this rate, but beyond that, we really have no idea, and what goes from there is going to be an interesting dismount for this team.
They got me standing up, so I'm wearing pants today, gentlemen. A low-key, busy day in NFL free agency yesterday on Wednesday. So we'll start here with Jadeveon Clowney agreeing to a 2-year deal worth up to $24 million with the Panthers. The Panthers, who are tied with the Patriots, by the way, for lowest preseason win total at 4.5. You also had, and the Rams, after they cleaned out their whole roster, everyone kind of thought they'd be aggressive in the offseason, right? Well, Tre'Davious White making his way to L.A. Maybe a little bit of an aggressive deal there. I know it's worth up to $10 million, but this is a guy coming off an Achilles injury back in October. And then Josh Reynolds, Denver, surprising many of its fans by going out and grabbing the former Lions wide receiver. So which of these moves moves your Golic needle the most, Gojo?
Yeah, Dad, I mean, I think the big name everyone's going to latch onto here is probably Clowney. He had a really good season last year in the context of that Baltimore defense, and now he's going down to Carolina to be one of the guys in charge of replacing the production from Brian Burns that they let walk and sign a massive free agent deal with the New York Giants. And so I think over the course of Clowney's career, it's been interesting to kind of see what's happened. He's a guy, and Carolina did the right thing. They sent out the hype video, and what did they do? Guy coming back to the same state he made his name in at South Carolina, well, in North Carolina as opposed to South Carolina, but the Carolinas, coming back down to the same area where he made his name in college, and they posted the highlight from the Michigan game where the helmet came flying off. And it's yep. like, yeah, we all know that was the original self for Clowney. Now it's kind of evolved into, hey, he's still an elite run defender. He's a guy that can give you absolutely pass rush wiggle and is still a problem on the perimeter. But I do wonder what it looks like for him at this age as the focal point of that pass rush, as opposed to just a guy that's one part of the process that they had in Baltimore.
He is close to home. He's a native of Rock Hill, South Carolina, which is 25 minutes south of Charlotte. We know he went to South Carolina as well. What's interesting, he's played 10 years in the league. He was the number one pick overall as a D lineman, Mike, and he's never had a double-digit sack season. He got 9.5 yeah. in 2017 in Houston, and he got 9.5 last year in Cleveland, so which got him this deal by, in his 10th year, getting 9.5 sacks. So the thought is, obviously, you talked about the run as well, but if he can give you some pass rush ability. But I thought that interesting, a number one draft pick, a D lineman, and never had double digits in sacks. But with a big year last year, gets this deal. It's kind of, you know, these mercenaries, you know, Von Miller did that. He's popped to a couple of teams like the Rams and with Buffalo to try and be that pass rusher. We've seen other guys do it as well. I'll be interested in Tre'Davious White, quite honestly, going to L.A. Here's a guy that a few years ago was, you know, one of the top corners in the league. Then he blows out a knee 2 years ago, comes back, plays some games, and plays in the playoffs. And then last year gets an Achilles, so he signs and he's still, you know, coming off the Achilles injury. So I'll be interested to see how he can come back. But he signs a 1-year deal. We've seen a number of 1-year deals this year of guys just go trying to get back out the guy on the field, prove themselves to get another deal after it.
Yeah, Trey White, Achilles injury for a defensive back, you get a 1-year deal. Quarterback and Kirk Cousins gets Achilles injury and you get more money than God guaranteed yeah. because your position's not predicated on you going out there and being able to actually do athletic things. So, we'll get to some of the NFL win totals. Fascinating to me. And one in the crosshairs for me is the Los Angeles Rams sitting there with the over-under set at 8.5, because on one side, the offense is going to be a monster. But defensively now, you're in the world post Aaron Donald, and that changes the math even for a group that stumbled into some really good young pieces on that side last year. But overall, your identity is going to change now. Raheem Morris is gone and coaching the Atlanta Falcons. So there's a yep. lot of turnover defensively for a team that offensively I think is going to be an out-and-out problem for the NFL next year. So we'll get to those coming up off the top of the next hour, though, Dad. What I want to get to now, Emerson, was something that was really interesting yesterday. As we've heard around the NFL owners' meetings, a lot of different team personnel coming out here and putting their name on certain takes. And 49ers CEO Jed York, I thought was unusually candid about the situation that they've got coming up with their quarterback.
Yeah, for sure. Everybody knows, and if you don't, Brock Purdy's going to be eligible for a gigantic contract extension a year from now. And the 49ers, yes, Gojo, apparently have begun to plan for it. Saying this week at the NFL annual meeting, it's a good problem when your quarterback is one of the highest paid guys on your team and in the league. So he seems highly aware that this is just the way that it works for good quarterbacks. This dude's getting the bag. He's going to get the bag eventually, and he has 100% earned it.
Yeah, Dad, I think we've talked about this before on the hypothetical about what a fascinating conundrum this is going to be for a 49ers team where the sell has been the roster, the roster, the roster. You've got all pros so deep on both sides of the ball, and how much that's going to change with the quarterback. We watch it happen all the time. We've seen it happen with teams like Buffalo, with Cincinnati, the Kansas City Chiefs, who have had to completely remake their roster since paying Patrick Mahomes and get younger in a lot of areas. And now for the 49ers, where that's been the same through multiple quarterback changes. When Jimmy Garoppolo was there, it was the same idea. Is you have this Death Star of a lineup that can insulate a quarterback inside an offense that's as quarterback friendly as there is in the NFL. But Brock Purdy now has come out of nowhere and established himself with a statistical profile where, Dad, if he plays the way that he played last year, and now he's going to have a full offseason that he didn't have last year when he was recovering from injury, another year in an offense that he already knows really well as excelled in, that still has so many of those great parts in it, it's hard to see him not being able to replicate that kind of success, Dad. And if he does, Jed York understands, but I thought was wild seeing someone on the team side admit, yeah, we're probably going to have to pay him whatever he wants.
It's interesting when Jed York said that it's a good problem that if you're paying your quarterback top salary, it means good. I don't know if Mara or Jerry Jones think that in New York and Dallas, you know, paying both Daniel Jones and Dak Prescott both making $40 million a year. I don't know if they feel real happy about that, but it's timing. If there's not going to be another quarterback out there, your quarterback is showing signs, you're going to pay them. That's just how this market works. So, Mike, I mean, you're right. I mean, 68% completion, 44 touchdowns, just 15 interceptions. He led the league in a lot of categories last year. It's what he's done. And I know I don't care if people are going to talk about the weapons around him. He's getting it done. The top salary right now of amount is Joe Burrow at $275 million, 146 guaranteed. Then Justin Herbert at $262, Lamar at $260, Jalen $255, Kyler Murray $230. His deal is he's gonna be the next highest paid quarterback in the league. I mean, and Jed York understands that. It's going to be a record deal. And we always talked about things you can do and people you can pay until you have to pay your quarterback. Well, They've hit the marker. Next year they're going to hit it. They're going to have to pay their quarterback, and then the salary cap gets tightened up a little bit when you're, you know, putting 45, 50 mil or over each year toward your quarterback.
I think Dallas is a prescient example, though, and I go back to something I've heard Dan Orlovsky say a ton of times on ESPN, is you get in trouble when you pay good quarterbacks great quarterback money. And out of this context, which I don't know if we'll ever have to see, right? Kyle Shanahan's still going to be the coach. This is an organization that's drafted extraordinarily well. So many of these guys are homegrown picks that turned into stars for them outside of the guy like Trent Williams they brought over in a trade. But I look at this with Brock Purdy and go, can he offset all of that? Or is this going to be a situation where we find out, much like Dak Prescott, like, hey, you paid him top of the line money. Dak Prescott is not one of those top five quarterbacks in the NFL. We firmly established that now. And I can already say that comfortably about Brock Purdy. He is not Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. He is not that group of quarterback, but he's played well enough to go out there and earn in that range, much like we've seen with other guys like Kirk Cousins, who, hey, if you play well enough and are consistent enough at that top end, teams are going to have no choice because there's just not that many guys that can do this.
No, I agree. And it's timing. We've seen guys get deals and we're like, how did he get a deal like that? Because of the timing, his turn. It's his turn. It's going to be if Brock Purdy, now again, they can extend it next year. That doesn't mean they have to. So if Brock Purdy does have another season like he's had, the efficiencies that he's had and how well he played, they'd be fools not to. What will be more interesting is if he doesn't have a great year and they're in that position. Well, they can wait one more year then, obviously, but that would muddy the waters a little bit.
Yeah, I see that as really unlikely. And again, this all does underscore, we need to go back to, dead last pick in the draft. I know the Mr. Irrelevant thing's been beaten into the ground, but the fact that this conversation is being had about this particular player is an insane testament to one of the best stories in sports.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
All right, welcome back to Gojo and Golic. Mike Golic Jr. and Mike Golic Sr. And we've got opening day of Major League Baseball coming up. A holy holiday for many and probably no one more so than our next guest. Very excited to talk to our old friend and teammate, Tim Kirkjian, great ESPN MLB analyst. But also now, I think for the intents and purposes of this, a family show, the co-host of Is This a Great Game or What? A podcast with his son, Jeff Kirkjian, as well. So, Tim, good morning. We're glad to have you here, and congratulations on the start of this podcast here. I don't know if the father-son podcast dynamic can necessarily work as a concept, but I'm rooting for you guys.
Well, I know this. I'm really excited about this. This is something my son Jeff and I have always wanted to do. He's a radio morning talk show host in Philadelphia, country music talk. I called it country western music, and he finally had to tell me, Dad, it's country music now. Get with it. Well, as we know, I'm not with anything. I also think this has got to be the smallest physical father-son connection ever. I mean, you guys are the biggest. But my son and I together are 10'10", and I don't think we weigh 300 pounds between us. So maybe both of you guys in your life weighed more than my son and I weigh right now. So big guys, little guys, it doesn't matter. We're all together in a podcast, and we're going to have some fun. It's going to be joyful, and I love baseball, and I love my son.
Oh, we know you love baseball. We want to get into baseball. We could talk for hours with you about baseball. The last thing I'll tell you, because you're just getting ready to start this, when Mike and I first did a show together, I expected, Timmy, that my son would show the reverence to his father who had been in this business for so long, and he didn't. So get ready for that from your son, to not show you the reverence and respect you deserve and probably jump right down your throat pretty quickly.
Right. He called me Tim on the air the other day. And I said, listen, you will refer to me as Dad. I am your father. I am not your best friend. Okay. I'm your parent here.
We had that conversation with a boss of ours at ESPN when I first started working on Golic and Wingo. Would I call him Mike or not? And I looked at them like they had two heads. I said, he's my dad. I'm going to call him Dad. And this is going to be the last time that we talk about this. So I'm glad you set the tone on your end, Tim, as we get That's ready. Again, great. The podcast is this a great game or what? It's going to be awesome. And Tim, your joy for baseball is part of why I was so excited to have you on today. I've always said every time I talk to you, I leave more excited about baseball and I leave more looking forward to it. Is this day in particular, is opening day your favorite day of the baseball calendar?
It is, because it's the sign, the symbol that, you know, warm weather is coming, that summer vacation is coming. We play an entire baseball season in one calendar year. This is a national holiday, at least it is in my family. People take their children out of school on opening day to take them to the game or let them watch on TV. We don't do that too many other places. That's why opening day is the best. And tomorrow morning, I'm going to wake up, you know, extra early as always, drink a Diet Mountain Dew, and look at the box scores, which has been, for my entire life, my favorite thing to do. And I can't wait to see the first round of box scores tomorrow morning.
Completely agree. I question anybody's parenting skills that they don't get their let their kids get out of school to go to a game or watch a game. I'm completely with you on that. Has to be asked, though, is how much of a cloud over opening day is the Shohei Ohtani situation in Los Angeles?
Yeah, it's really sad that this is happening. It's not good for baseball, Shohei, the Dodgers. And even though he came out the other day and was much more forthcoming and direct and blunt than I thought he would be in his statement, there are still a million questions that need to be answered about this. Now, do I think this is going to seriously affect Shohei on the field, seriously affect the Dodgers? I don't think so, but we'll see. And we need to know way more than we know right now. So I was so excited about watching the Dodgers play this year, because they're going to be the greatest traveling road show in the history of the sport. And they still will be, but now it'll be for another reason, and that's the unfortunate part. So as a baseball fan, not a journalist, I'm hoping we get all this cleared up and we can just talk about the game on the field, but we're not going to be able to do that for quite some time.
You mentioned that the Dodgers are going to be, I think, a national fascination for so many people. Outside of that, Tim, what's the baseball story or headline or underlying plot that you're most excited about heading into the beginning of this season, maybe outside of the Dodgers?
Well, I'm really interested to see if the Rangers can repeat, which hasn't happened, you know, in well over 20 years now. The Rangers have a great offensive team. And wait till you see this Wyatt Langford guy who's going to be their everyday DH. He had an amazing spring. I think they have a chance to win the World Series again if, of course, they can tread water until Max Scherzer and Jacob deGrom come back this summer. That's just one of a million stories that we're watching. And in my state, Maryland, I'm fascinated by where the Orioles are right now, how they went from 50 wins to 83 to 101. And now people are wondering, can they win 100 games again? And they have this Jackson Holliday kid, Matt Holliday's son, best player in the minor leagues last year. He'll be up sooner rather than later. There is so much excitement wherever you look in the big leagues, and that's what makes me so excited about the 2024 season.
Tim, who's that team possibly this year, like a Baltimore, going from 50-plus to 80-plus to 100-plus wins, that has started the ascension a little bit and can really maybe pop onto the big scene this year?
Well, there are two teams who I don't think are going to the playoffs, but I think are on the right track and are going to make a major dent. Number one is the Tigers. The Tigers have some really good young players on that team. They've got Casey Mize, one of the best pitching prospects in baseball, back now after injury. And that is a winnable AL Central. So they might be able to make a push, get over 500, and start edging towards being a contender when they really weren't last year. And in the same division, the Royals were awful last year. They lost 106 games, but they really made some improvements. And a dear friend of mine, Mark Feinsand, just predicted that the Royals were going to win the American League Central. Wow. I don't see how that's going to happen, but he's really smart. He sees something that others don't. So every year, you guys know this, one team, usually two, come out of nowhere and you just slap your forehead and go, how did that happen? How did I miss that? Maybe the Royals, maybe the Tigers are those teams that come from nowhere and suddenly are in it in September.
Tim, only a couple minutes left here. We've talked so much about the team and the Dodgers out in the left coach here that I feel like we haven't said much about the Yankees, who've got Juan Soto over there now, who have this roster still full of highly paid stars here. What has to go right for the Yankees to finally start to get back in some of those conversations and around championships that they're used to?
Yeah, they have to tread water until Gerrit Cole, who for me is the best pitcher in the game, comes back. Now, let's say that's on June the 1st. I thought they needed another starting pitcher before Gerrit Cole got hurt. Now I think they need two, because I'm not sure that rotation is going to hold up in a very stout American League East. But having said that, the Yankees are going to score 200 more runs than they did last year. Juan Soto changes the entire look of the team. And if they get a healthy Aaron Judge, I saw Giancarlo Stanton this spring. He's got a different body. He's more athletic. He's less rigid. He's going to have a comeback season, I believe. And if they can get DJ LeMahieu back, I think they're going to be a demonstrably better offensive team. And they might be able to slug their way through until they can get Cole back, say, early June.
Well, Tim, listen, I mean, you and I have had a, you know, been friends for years. We've talked a lot over the years on our shows, and you've done it with me and my son now as well. I'm very happy for you. This is your time of the year, but I'm even more excited for you that you're doing the podcast with your son. I think there's nothing better in all seriousness than I've done than be able to do a show with my son. So for you to be able to do a pod with your son, that just shows the relationship you have. I think it's an awesome thing, and best of luck with it.
Well, thanks. This is the biggest day of my career today, honestly, and I mean it. Thank you guys for having me.
Is this a great game or what? Is the podcast greatgameorwhat.com? You can check out all the information about it. Again, if you want to experience unparalleled baseball joy between father and son, this is the place to go for it as we all get set and fired up for opening day here. Thank you so much, Tim. We appreciate it.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network. Work.